Okay, so you're interested in closure for AI.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the most common pairing. So you're already ahead of the curve there,
Yeah.
digging a bit deeper. And this book, we're looking at practical artificial intelligence programming with closure.
Right.
That's gonna be our guide today
Okay.
to see why closure deserves a second look for AI work.
I'm excited.
It's definitely different from the typical Python-centric AI world, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I gotta ask, what drew you to closure for AI specifically?
Well, for me, it's the author's perspective. Mark Watson, he's this seasoned Lisp programmer.
Oh, wow.
And he just gets the strengths of closure, you know?
Yeah.
He argues that it's not just about using Python libraries within closure. It's that closure itself, its data structures, how seamlessly it works with the Java ecosystem
Right.
that makes it powerful for AI.
So it's like closure is a good tool in itself, not just a bridge to other tools.
Exactly. It's like having a custom-made toolbox,
Yeah.
specifically designed for AI work.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
It's not just about the individual tools, but how well they work together.
Yeah, and the book doesn't shy away from the details either.
Oh, good, because I was going to say, we're not afraid to get a little technical.
No, not at all. We're diving into the specifics of using closure
Yeah.
for AI so you can actually build something.
Love it. So let's get specific then. The
Okay.
book talks about Deep Learning 4j,
Right.
powerful deep learning library, and it's written in Java.
Exactly.
Now, why is that important for closure?
Because Deep Learning 4j being Java-based, it integrates so well with closure.
Ah, I see.
You're essentially using both languages together.
Without the headache of switching back and forth.
Exactly. You save time
Yeah.
and it streamlines the development process.
So we're talking about leveraging the strengths of both Clojure and Java for these AI projects.
Yes.
That's got to open up some interesting possibility.
Oh, absolutely. It's like unlocking a whole new
It's a
level.
secret weapon almost.
Yeah, you said it.
You've got closures, data structures, functional programming
And then the huge Java ecosystem at your
to
fingertips.
build these elegant and efficient AI systems.
And that's not even scratching the surface.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. This book goes way beyond just deep learning.
Okay, so what else is on the menu then?
Well, we've got natural language processing, anomaly detection, even the world of knowledge graphs and the semantic web.
Wow, it's like a buffet of AI approaches.
It really is. And you get to see closure in action across all these different domains.
Which highlights its versatility.
Exactly.
So let's dig into some of these a bit more, starting with natural language processing.
Sure.
What's the story with closure there?
Well, the book shows you how to use OpenNLP for tasks like sentiment analysis and entity recognition.
And just for our listeners, can you give a quick refresher on what those terms mean?
Of course. So sentiment analysis, that's all about figuring out the emotional tone behind text, like if a tweet is positive or negative. Entity recognition, on the other hand, that's about identifying and classifying named entities in text.
Named entities, so like people, places, organizations. So if you're building something that needs to understand human language, like a chatbot,
Or a social media monitoring tool.
OpenNLP could be a good tool to have in your back pocket.
Definitely.
But let's talk about something even more interesting, anomaly detection.
Okay.
You mentioned this earlier. What makes this area of machine learning so unique?
Well, anomaly detection, it's all about finding those needles in a haystack. The data points that are way different from the norm. It's like having a sixth sense for spotting the unusual.
A sixth sense. That's a cool way to put it.
And what's really interesting is that the author uses cancer data as an example.
Okay. How so?
Instead of training a model to identify cancerous cells directly, he flips the script.
He flips the script. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So instead of looking for the bad data points, you're training the model to recognize what normal looks like.
So anything that doesn't fit that normal pattern,
That's flagged as an anomaly.
that's clever.
It is. It's a more general approach that can be used for a ton of different problems. And the book gives you real examples of how to do this with closure.
Which is key if you're working with real-world data.
Absolutely.
And speaking of real-world data, this book doesn't stop there. It takes on knowledge graphs and the semantic web.
Yeah, now we're getting really meta.
Right,
Oh.
because now we're not just analyzing data, we're talking about understanding the relationships between data points.
Exactly. And that's where closure really shines with its ability to handle those complex data structures and its integration with Java.
So it's like weaving all those individual data points into a massive tapestry of knowledge.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And the book does a fantastic job of explaining all the technical jargon that usually surrounds this topic.
We're talking RDF, RDFS, OLL, Sparkle, all those acronyms that sound like they belong in a science fiction movie.
Right, but they're really just standardized ways of representing and querying knowledge.
Okay, so how can we wrap our heads around this?
Think of it like a library, but instead of books organized by genre or author, they're connected based on the meaning and the relationships between the information inside them.
So it's like a web of data that machines can actually understand and use.
Exactly. That's the whole idea behind the semantic web. And Clojure, with its elegant syntax and powerful data manipulation, it becomes the perfect tool for navigating this world of interconnected information.
It's like we're taking all those individual data points and turning them into this like giant web of knowledge.
Right. And the book does a really good job at like breaking down all that technical jargon that usually comes with this stuff.
Yeah, because we're talking RDFS, OLL, SparkUL, like what do those even mean?
I know they sound like something out of a sci-fi movie, right?
Totally.
But they're actually just standardized ways to represent and then search for knowledge.
Okay, so imagine like a massive library, right?
Right.
But instead of books being organized by genre or author, they're connected by the actual meaning and relationships between the information they have.
That's a great way to think about it. Whoa. It's like that's what the semantic web is trying to do.
All right, create a web of data that machines can actually understand and use.
Exactly.
And Clojure, with its, you know, elegant syntax and all that power it has for manipulating data, that makes it the perfect tool to navigate this interconnected world of information.
It really does. The book even shows you how to use Clojure with DBpedia, which is this massive public knowledge graph.
Oh, wow. I've heard of that.
Yeah. And the cool thing is the author doesn't just explain the concepts. He actually built a tool called the Knowledge Graph Navigator.
What?
Yeah. To make it easier to explore and query this huge database of knowledge.
So it's like he's giving you the keys to a brand new car and saying, go explore.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. But you know, a lot of people are drawn to Clojure because it's so elegant and expressive.
Right.
But does the book talk about the practical side of using it for AI?
It does.
Especially with all the data these projects have to deal with.
Absolutely. The author makes it clear that Clojure isn't just some theoretical thing. It's built for the real world. He even has a whole section on query caching.
Query caching. Remind us what that is again.
So basically, instead of running the same complex query over and over again, you store the results.
Ah, so you can access them faster next time.
Exactly. It's like having a cheat sheet, so you don't have to redo all the calculations.
Smart. And because Clojure works so well with Java, he suggests using Apache Derby to cache those query results.
Exactly. Which is a Java-based database. So again, it's all about working smarter, not harder.
I like it. So we're using the best tools for the job.
Yes. And this blend of like deep theory and practical advice, that's what makes this book so interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't just tell you what's possible with Clojure for AI. It shows you how to actually do it.
Exactly.
It really does feel like he gives you the whole toolkit, right?
Yeah, and the confidence to actually use it, which is huge.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, we've covered a lot of ground here today about Clojure and AI.
We have.
But just to kind of like bring it all together for our listeners, what's the one big takeaway you hope they walk away with?
You know, I think this book really challenges that idea that Python's the only way to do AI.
Right.
Clojure brings so much to the table, you know, those unique features, the way it integrates with Java. It's a powerful alternative.
It really is.
So yeah, don't be afraid to explore those possibilities.
Exactly. You might be surprised what you find.
Exactly.
And on that note, that wraps up our deep dive into Clojure and AI. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And if you want to really like get your hands dirty with building AI systems with Clojure, check out Practical Artificial Intelligence Programming with Clojure.
Definitely worth a read.
Until next time, keep exploring those new possibilities.
Yes.